Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Soul Focus Radio. This is your host, Martin, and it's just me as I intro part two of our conversation with Cindy Carnegie. Last week, we started to get into the conversation of healing, and this week, we go a lot deeper into what we're calling trauma recovery. Cindy Carnegie also calls it trauma growth. How do we move forward? How do we not stay stuck in a traumatic place? And that's what today's episode is about. So sit back, enjoy, and here's part two of our conversation with Cindy Carnegie.
There is nothing more powerful than communication, because we all have to do it, and we're all doing it on some level all the time. When we are talking to ourselves or thinking, that's just another word for talking to ourselves, which means that we are doing what? Communicating with ourselves. When we are verbally speaking to other people, our body, or when our body language is demonstrating communication. Communication is so important because the world runs off communication. So when you power up your communication, you essentially power up your life. At the Soul Focus Group, we invite everybody that comes to really delve into powering up their communication, transforming the way they listen, transforming the way they speak, transforming the way they connect to people, because that is where our power is. Power up your communication, people. We all need it.
All right. Well, let's keep this conversation going. So Cindy with a Y, Cindy Carnegie, you know, I've really enjoyed listening to everything. You know, I feel like this has been a fascinating conversation, and we've gone a lot of different places. You know, one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about and touch base with you on is, you and I spent a lot of time together talking about recovery, talking about trauma. You know, I've laid out my trauma in a couple different of these episodes, and you know, without I have never wanted to do like details, because that doesn't feel good to me. But, you know, just owning that this, you know, early childhood sexual trauma that I went through has like set patterns for me my whole life. And the patterns have, from a very early age, like 12 years on, have really lined up with addictions. And, you know, so, you know, I'm in recovery. I've told, you know, everybody that listens to this podcast that I'm in recovery. And I'm wondering if you could talk about, because this is really about healing from trauma. And one of the ways that I'm really connected to healing from trauma is recovering from trauma. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the concept of trauma recovery as healing from trauma.
For sure, for sure. So, you know, I think the world of recovery, in terms of, like, you know, whether it be AA, NA, OA, any of the group models that have really like held folks who have had like addiction in particular, has always known that most of the folks who come into spaces where they're dealing with addiction and sobriety, and what it means to not just be abstinent from using substances, but then also like sober, right? Like emotionally sober, right? In addition to just sobriety, has always, like, folks have always known that trauma almost comes hand in hand, right, with folks who are in recovery. And the thing about it is it, you know, healing from trauma and recovery in the trauma world, it mirrors the recovery process. It has to, right, that you've gone through, Martin. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this, like, you know, the first stage of trauma recovery is safety, right? Safety and stability, right? So how do we create safety and stability in our for ourselves, around us, in our environment, that really can allow for us to not have the reminders of the things that have happened to us, right? So these experiences don't start to creep in, to the best of our ability, that we control that environment around us and create safety and stability. And then we have to remember and grieve, right? To be able to talk about. And that was, you know, what Cindy Edwards and I were just talking about, you know, this last segment is, you know, this idea that remembering is so incredibly powerful, the acknowledgement of what has happened, right? And then grieving the experience, right? And really talking about that long-term impact and what has happened to us. And then, you know, the third phase in trauma recovery is the restoration of relationships. And I really think, you know, Martin, when you're thinking about, you know, like a 12-step model, for example, this really looks and feels similar in some ways to amends, right? Like this opportunity to really like restore relationships, whether it's with ourselves or the people around us, right? To clean our slate, to really start to really connect. in a real meaningful way. And so, you know, the addiction world has gotten this, you know, absolutely, you know, right with its group models in this way, right? That this recovery process is almost a step-by-step process, but that it really is about creating stability, remembering, really feeling the feelings that come with the loss of the story that we wanted to tell ourselves about our lives, right? But that's not what happened to us. Here is what happened to us, that honesty, and then connecting, right? And restoring those relationships. So that is, you know, that's the process of recovery. It's not that linear, but it is, right. It is the process, right? It is part of the process.
Yeah, that's right on. That definitely resonated with me, you know, because otherwise, like if you don't, for me, if I don't take this approach, you know, I mentioned this on the last podcast, but the idea of being healed as like an end goal, as like a product, doesn't feel real to me anymore, you know? But the concept of being in recovery feels pretty reasonable to me. You know what I mean? Like, again, not recovered, because I know from being in recovery for a host of addictions, it's a constant process. It's always a process of moving forward and then sometimes like relapsing on it. And so I think the way that you said it resonated so strongly with me, because it's not linear. Like you said, like you can feel really good about how you're dealing with trauma and then go through a little period where you're not dealing with it so well, where it is creating patterns for you, you know? So I really love that model, you know, because it's not just one direction.
It's not one direction. And because the fucked upness, and I'll tell you that that's a clinical term, the fucked upness of the way that we think about the way that we've socialized ourselves in particular in this country around like things needing to be linear. They have to be open one door, close the next, right? Like really boxy. We have to put a bow on things and have like the real closure to processes has really, really screwed up a lot of us who have tried to recover from many things, whether it's trauma, whether it's, you know, it's addiction, whether it's bad relationships with all three of them, because we've been like really, really like conditioned in our groundwater, deep in our groundwater, that there is an end state that we're going to be recovered and healed. And that is just not, that's just not it, right? Like that's not it at all. Actually, the gift is in the process, even as painful as it can be. This idea that we're in a growth mindset and a process of healing will always allow us to be more in the end than we were at the beginning. And of course, like I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we should all have traumas so we can, you know, so we could grow a lot. That's not definitely not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like, there is a, like the way that we've been conditioned has fooled us and made us and convinced us that we should be at an end result. And that is very, very damaging, because then we put so much pressure on ourselves to get over it. Right. That's why we rush through the process of healing. That's why we rush through the process of recovering, right? Or being in recovery, because, you know, we've been convinced that we have to get there. That's not it at all. It's the process. That's the healing. It's not the end result.
I love that. And also, I have to tell you, Sydney, that I think one of my all time favorite podcast moments now, just throwing out fucked upness and then immediately calling it a technical term. So
it's a clinical term, Martin.
Clinical term. Yeah, yeah. So you've created one of my all time favorite moments in my brief career as a podcaster. That was special. You know,
listen, I gave myself permission to go for it, right? And then I.
Yes, you did. And you had it too. You knew you had it. So yeah, this is, you know, this is a very powerful idea. The one thing that's really coming to me strongly right now is, and this ties into, you know, to what Cindy Edwards was saying, you know, about people experiencing the same thing or similar things and some people feeling very connected to the trauma of it and other people not. This concept of like, is it okay to heal or not? Especially if you have like siblings or you have other people that experience the same, or even if it didn't happen at the same time, a similar trauma, you know, I'm just really thinking right now, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about sort of the right to heal, the responsibility to heal for anybody, you know, that's experienced trauma. And we could use recover, you know, either way is fine.
Yeah. You know, this is something that, you know, I've definitely not just experienced with folks that I've, you know, been in relationship to around healing, but also like, you know, in my own experiences, right? This idea that like, am I allowed to be okay? Am I allowed to move into a place where this is part of my story, but not the whole story, while I watch other folks around me struggle, right? And push themselves, push this down, right? And to not live in their fullest sense of self. And I want to say, like, the one of the most unfair parts of experiencing any trauma is that we are then responsible for our own healing. Like, that feels a little unfair, but there's also a part of it that is incredibly empowering, right? Like, that because something bad's happened to us at the hands, most of the time, many of the times, of somebody else, like somebody's done something to really, really hurt us, that now we're responsible for, like, fixing it, right? For ourselves, right? And living a fulfilled life. Like, that just doesn't feel right. But what it does do, it gives us the ability to do it, which that mastery is so, so, so important for our healing. And so that's something I wanted to really say is, like, I know it resonates with some folks that I've talked to, that they just, you know, they're like, damn, why do I have to do this? Like, I went through that. Why the hell do I have to put all this work in to do this now and to get better and to heal and to grow beyond? It's just, it is what it is, but we can do it, right? And that's important. And then, you know, this concept of, like, self-forgiveness, that we're not at fault for the bad things that happen to us, is also part of it, right? Is self-forgiveness. Like, it's, and especially when we're watching, you know, our loved ones experience similar things, like, we have to be able to forgive ourselves for having the experience that we have. That's not even our fault to begin with. And so, you know, we have the right to heal. We have, and what you said was, it is important for us to heal because we have to, for the people around us. Like, I have a son, my son is 2 years old, and every time I look at him, what I see when I look at him is somebody who is looking to me to determine what his worldview is, especially in the beginning of his life. And as I work, if I haven't worked through my traumas enough to at least acknowledge when they are impacting my relationship with him, I'm sometimes consciously, but most of the time unconsciously, transmitting that trauma down to him. And now, there's been a lot of research in the field of epigenetics that says, absolutely, we can actually genetically, right, like, in our genes, in our bodies, pass our traumas to our children in various ways, right? It impacts them, right? And their biological systems when they're born. But the other piece of it is like, how we act and what we do in relationship to those young people and our kids and our families in our lives. It is so important for us to really get right with ourselves. And again, it's not fair that we have to do it when it's not our fault. But we have the power to do it. And so we have to, because if we don't, those relationships suffer, and the people around us will unfortunately be experiencing the same pain and often struggle that we are. And I know no parent wants that for their children. Nobody does. And so it's imperative that we do that work so that we can, you know, that we don't pass that down. We don't pass those experiences on. We don't act out with our children and the people we love.
So, have you ever heard of a term called groundwater? Groundwater is another word we use at the Soul Focus Group that means subconscious programming. From the ages of 0 to 7, we are subconsciously programmed. So much information and choices and decisions are downloaded into our subconscious mind, and we begin to start living that life. And even though that life we're living is not the life we chose for ourselves, and it's not until we understand the impact of the groundwater, what the groundwater really is, that we begin to wake up to our own lives and begin to choose what we want for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we bring you to that consciousness so that you can begin to choose the life you want to live for yourself.
So. I love that. And I love what you, thank you, Cindy. I love what you said, that, you know, we aren't in control of what happened to us. We didn't cause what happened to us. Almost, you know, I would say, and you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd say in a vast majority of cases, who or whatever, because it's not always a person, right? It could be natural disasters. It could be, but there's an element of power over, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the power of a hurricane over us, or the power of a parent, the power of somebody physically stronger. I mean, it's almost always, it was situations for us where people had power over us.
That's right.
And for us, you know, to be able to say, well, the only way for me to be powerful in this moment is to not make it not happen. Because of course it will always have happened, but it's to take control now of how, of not letting, allowing it to keep, you know, for myself to keep re-traumatizing.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, you know, and I really appreciate that you pulled out this idea around power, right? Because that's really the experience that most survivors have, right? That there was somebody who enacted this idea, this power over this thing, right? Like you said, natural disaster and the feeling of disempowerment. And we can't change that feeling in the moment, but what we can do is really tap into our own internal power to really think about and to experience ourselves as powerful. And despite what has happened to us, we can still be powerful. So I really thank you, Martin, for pulling that out because it's a really, really important concept as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. This has been awesome. This little impromptu one-on-one that we just had, this has been really cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, Martin. I appreciate it.
Well, Cindy Carnegie, I personally want to thank you for, you know, how much time and energy you've taken with us on this subject and just, you know, really thank you for being present and open and bringing all of your experience and wisdom to this conversation.
Oh my gosh, you don't have to thank me. This was like the best, time I've spent talking to some folks in a really long time around trauma, because what it is, Martin, what I really felt from everyone is like this, we're not just talking about this in an academic way, right? Like this is an experience that all of us have had, right? We've all had things happen to us or people we love, mm-hmm. and we're trying to make sense of it. And so if we can do that together, there's healing to be had. So I really feel like this was a healing conversation. I hope folks listening felt the same way.
Yeah. And I echo what Martin said. You know, I really appreciate your wisdom. And like you said, it's a moment of realization. And, you know, with everything that you've shared with me, like I'm trying to make sense of my experiences. But, you know, as mentioned before, my mom's, you know, I'm definitely going to take some time to unpack this conversation. But, you definitely will hear from me very soon. I feel very comfortable speaking with you, and you know we've shared conversations, you know, past conversations as well. So, you know, I'm ready to talk about it. I'm ready to unpack it. I'm ready to continue to heal, and I really just look forward to hearing more of your wisdom and your expertise.
Cindy, I want to really thank you too. Something that I'm really taking away from the conversation today is appreciating that your acknowledgement that we don't ask about our traumas and we don't give space for people to share if they want. I really appreciate you just feeling like you were making space for me and for our listeners too, that it is something that our society doesn't give space for, and that we need to give space for this conversation and this sharing if and when people are ready.
So Cindy, you know, just, I think the last thing I would ask you is, you know, I was thinking about what Cindy Edwards said, and I'm wondering if you, you know, in addition to listening to this podcast and even for us, you know, on here, in addition to us sharing on these podcasts, what would you recommend for people in terms of like moving forward in this trauma recovery and healing from trauma journey?
Yeah. What I would recommend is, you know, healing can happen in many, many different ways, right? It's connected to spirituality. It's connected to community. It's connected to, you know, oftentimes, you know, professionals who can help you through it. Whatever, you know, you feel like you need in terms of, you know, connection, creating safety for yourself, please seek it out. If it's a mental health professional, there's many, many, many resources that can be shared. And I don't know, Martin, if we want to try to do that at the end and just share some of these resources out. But folks, you know, just reach out and find community. You can do it. We can do it together. And absolutely, you deserve to feel heard, seen, safe, and secure. So definitely reach out to mental health professional organizations around you that can definitely support that process. It doesn't always have to look one way. It can be what you need it to be. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we can, what we'll do is we'll get those resources from you and we'll put mm-hmm. them in the comments section of, you know, the description section of these episodes so folks can access it while they listen.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks again so much. And yeah, just thank you.
At the Soul Focus Group, we're probably one of the first organizations in social justice movement to find ourselves moving away from fighting against racism to creating human solidarity. What we found is that we could fight 24 hours, 48 hours, or all our lives, and after fighting all this time, we have nothing to show for it, just because we haven't created anything for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we are one of the few organizations who have moved from fighting against racism to creating an alternative to racism. And we invite you to join us. Let's stop fighting and start creating the outcome we really want to experience.
All right, well, that wraps up our conversation with Cindy Carnegie. You know, I feel it's such a privilege to have people like Cindy in my life. All the people that I get to talk to on this podcast, you know, Cindy Edwards and Martina and Dustin and Mandy and Felicia and all the people, Stephanie and on and on and on, all the people you get to hear, Anwar, Devin. I mean, it's just all coming to me right now that it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to have conversations with folks at the level of depth and vulnerability that we get to. And, you know, this episode and last week's episode was certainly a great example of that. And, you know, just really feeling strongly that, you know, this is a huge part of what it means to be soul focused. It means that we, you know, we don't try to hide our traumas or say that they didn't exist. And we also don't let them run our lives. And that could be traumas from individual life happenings. And it could also be traumas from systems and institutions as they play out in this country. So we're going to keep this conversation going in a few different ways. But we're just so happy that you could join us today. You know, whatever you've been through, we love you. We care about you. And we're excited to have you part of our family on this incredible journey that we're on. Please check us out, as always, at soulfocusgroup.com. Come see what we're doing. Help us grow and expand. As we are, and be a part of that. And as always, all of us, we ask you to stay safe, stay well, and most of all, stay soul focused.